Welcome to Bridge the Gap with hosts Lucas McCurdy and Joshua Crisp, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by Markentum.
So welcome back to Bridge the Gap podcast. I'm here with a good friend of mine, Benjamin Firestone, co-founder of Blueprint, correct?
That's correct. Thanks for having me, Lucas. Appreciate the time and being the first from Blueprint to be invited to the session
here. Absolutely, absolutely. And so we're here in Chicago at your, we're at Ground Zero. This is your headquarters here. This is what you guys have created. Beautiful office, and it's amazing energy just even walking in here. So tell me, how did you guys get into this building? Because this is a relatively new space, right?
Yeah, it is. We've been here, man, since September of last year. Okay. And as the company grew, we decided to invest in the culture even more than we already had. So exciting stuff. We expanded beyond the needs of our existing space, or what the capacity we had. And we did a pretty exhaustive search around Chicago. Did we want to be startup? Did we want to be corporate? Mm-hmm. How do we want to take the next chapter of our firm and shape it with the space that we're sitting in most of the week? So we found a perfect blend in between where we had a collaborative open environment, as you see here, and we also had some fun. So we built out this bar where people can have lunch and have a beer after you know, working hours are over. And then we also have some private space and some phone rooms so people can get the private business done.
Well, it's an incredible space. And I've really enjoyed getting to know you at the NIC events and just kind of seeing you guys are really, really aggressive and moving in the industry. And so I'm really happy to have you on the podcast because I think it's going to add a lot of value back to our listeners. And so by way of introduction, help our listeners just understand a little bit more about who you are as a man and also as a businessman.
Sure. So that's a lot to unpack there. Glad we had some time.
A short amount of time.
Yeah. So I guess where my partners and I started, we were at a commercial real estate firm for the better part of a decade and really saw an opportunity to take some of the best practices we learned there, but really focus specifically on this niche, senior housing, as you guys do in your business. Yeah. We wanted to build something thoughtful, something where we could have our culture and our energy really focus on an inch wide and a mile deep in the space. So how do we come up with analytics that add value to our customer base, to our clientele? How do we come up with processes? How do we get a little edgier on the tech platform? And then how do we, at the same time, fit the needs of the clients where certain things like the confidentiality issue, photography, minimizing foot traffic through the buildings, some of the things where we as good listeners were able to put together a program that's custom fit and built for our clientele.
So how long has Blueprint been open?
So technically, we just passed our five-year anniversary, which sounds incredible to me. I mean, it's been a long 5 years. I've probably put 15 or 20 on my life. But yeah, 5 years ago, we started this platform, and it's evolved, and it's come a long way, and we've had a lot of fun and working really hard and fortunate to have a really great team.
Yes.
That's probably what we're probably most proud of here at Blueprint.
Sure.
It's just a group of guys and gals that are all aligned, going out there trying to win business and also perform and execute so that the promises we make to these clients, we can keep them and then have a sustainable practice.
So there's a big talk about kind of the next generation of seniors housing, senior living. Is it even going to be called senior living? Is it multi-generational? Is it longevity? Is it aging? But in particular, there's a lot of older leaders, literally older leaders in the space, either as an operator or as investors. The culture of what senior living is maybe a little bit in shift as newer, younger people enter into leadership platforms. And so looking around your office, I see a lot of young people here, which is exciting. And I've been able to meet and collaborate with a lot of younger leaders in the business. What do you think as not just a future leader, a leader in the space, what do you think is going to be, we're going to need to do that's different than what maybe the original leaders are now kind of moving maybe into the twilight and out of the business? What do you think the difference will be for us as we move the industry forward?
That's a great question. And I think it's going to take 10, 20 years to answer.
Sure.
As the baby boomers slowly continue to come online and age to the point where they're going to need senior housing.
Yeah.
But I think the underlying asset that the consumer, the end consumer, is going to demand is going to be different. And I had a dinner last night with a close friend of mine, a developer, and he's really cutting edge trying to go out there and figure out maybe the common area ratio to the unit, that ratio needs to change a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe people need larger units. Maybe people need smaller units. How do we come up with the amenities that people really want? How do we come up with the dining programs people want? So while that stuff is outside of our purview,
yeah,
we have to think about that, especially as we team up with operators and come up with projections and models as properties that may, consistent with your business,
sure,
be renovated.
Yeah.
How do the new construction buildings coming online affect supply? How do they affect the investment arena? So interesting stuff. We're studying it all the time, and I think it's going to take 10, 15, 20 years to really figure out where we're heading.
Absolutely. So let's talk to the owner, operator, investor that's in the space right now. And they're thinking, you know, is it a good time to buy? Is it a good time to sell? Do I build ground up or do I grow by acquisition? Talk to us a little bit about the market as it stands right now and kind of speak to those people that may be either listing or buying right now.
Sure. So I'd say first, every situation we see is different. So one group may be a buyer of a certain asset class or portfolio, whereas one would be a seller. So it depends on where the capital needs are. I think that we are seeing a lot of transactions now that were capitalized, perhaps even over-leveraged, 2014, 15, 16. We're seeing some of those transactions come to market as they're right-sized and the new capital is more efficient structure for the operator to thrive in. Mm-hmm. So particularly we're seeing assets that have been CapEx starved in a net lease model. That's a theme we're seeing all the time, where the obligor to pay the rent and also fund the CapEx projects is the tenant, and the coverage isn't there, and they're not able to make that investment, and the investor decides that it's better to sell the asset as opposed to put that money in and try to get that rental income stream payment increased.
Gotcha.
So seen a lot of that, and then that ends up translating to opportunistic capital and groups out there saying, hey, maybe I can put more money into a transaction, more into an asset, mm-hmm. and build it to my projections, my model, and then capitalize it differently so we can thrive.
Excellent. Well, and so is it a good time for people to be selling their properties?
I think it's a great time. Again, certain situations. What I mean by that is even if there's not the cash flow that was modeled out 5 years ago, mm-hmm. those performances have not been fully realized, there's still so much capital chasing the space and the product type that the price per unit valuation, some of the drivers that are not just yield driven or static dynamic, the model, if someone's looking at a trailing income versus a forward income over 5 years, mm-hmm. there's all sorts of opportunities to buy assets at numbers that make sense to sellers that aren't necessarily driven by a multiple of existing cash flow.
I gotcha. And so talk to us a little bit about the selling process. If once something goes under contract, what are you seeing as some red flag problems that people can avoid?
Sure. Well, I think, Lucas, you're probably referring to a situation where during the due diligence process, things come up that were unexpected.
Yes.
And how do we, as representatives for the seller, avoid any price adjustment during the process? So what do we do there to mitigate that risk? Well, certainly there's pieces of the physical plant. But what's most important, we found, is to encourage, promote, and really push operators to keep census up and keep their eye on the ball, because that's the way that we've seen more deals over the years not make, is when operations take a turn for the worse during the diligence process, which does take time because people need to go out and get their third-party reports done. They need to go out and get their licensure transferred, their financing in order. So these things, these transactions, inevitably take some time.
Sure.
And time can potentially kill the deal if you're not keeping your eye on the ball and keeping those operations in order.
Okay. So with the little bit of time that we have left, I'm going to kind of pivot into maybe something just a little bit different, more on an entrepreneurial culture environment. With your, you've been involved with leadership at Nick, and part of their initiatives are data and analytics, but also connections. And a big topic that comes up in the space is just recruiting and bringing new people into the world and just letting them know about senior living. What do you think, as you've developed a culture in a company that has younger people that is really tailor-made for senior living, how do you think we attract new good people into the business?
Oh, man, that is a great question. Because senior housing, if you had asked me and I was in high school, said, hey, you're going to go into the senior living
right
arena, I would have thought you were joking me. So very interesting niche. I think here in Chicago, there's a lot of talent and people that have been trained at the various institutions. But when we go out and bring new people in, I think they're attracted to that niche, right? I think if you're a generalist, you could be a commodity. And we had a conversation earlier about that. But I think the niche is attractive. I think the demographics and the baby boomer discussion is really relevant. People realize that if they get in now, this business has nowhere to go but to explode. So I think that's exciting for people. And then for us and our little piece of the senior living industry, we like to keep it fun. So we have a lot of fun. We have a work hard, play hard mentality. I wish we had more time. We could go around and interview some of these guys about what they like about working at Blueprint. But we're very collaborative. We're very transparent. We really do function as a team, which I think people really like. I mean, they come in, they have team sports, these kind of things growing up, and they're looking for a collaborative environment, not a dry corporate kind of rank and file structure. We're a very flat organization. My door is always open. My partner's doors are already always open. Our CEO, we just hired about 4 months ago, he's always accessible. And I think it really is something that we as a team try to build something fun, something exciting, and really continue to be a market leader. So that's something that I think these guys, young people coming into, see it as an opportunity to make their mark and really join a small, close-knit industry that is seniors housing.
Absolutely. And well, one of the missions with our podcast is educate, influence, and inform, but also to tell the good stories about the business. And you know, in a commercial real estate environment, I'm sure that you've seen it, and maybe other people that have worked in other verticals have seen it, is that it can be largely transactional. And that's it. It's just a transaction. It's just a building. It's a retail plaza where they sell jeans, or it's a apartment unit where, you know, college students live. But we're dealing with assets of where people are spending the end of their life and they're trying to live there with dignity. And there's a missional aspect of that that I think is attractive, that if those stories are being told and people are understanding that there's really something powerful here about what's taking place, that more than just a building located somewhere, I think that the beauty in that is going to be attractive to younger people as they get in.
Yeah, and I think it's consistent with our philosophy. And my father always told me, never be transaction-focused, be interaction-focused. Yeah. And that really speaks to me volumes. We go out there and try to be good listeners and develop relationships. Mm-hmm. So where in the transaction business, we can have interactions and be good listeners, go out there and really listen to what our customer oftentimes is one step removed from the end user and those that are living with dignity in the space. But those operators, if we can align ourselves with them and philosophically say, hey, look, we want to build a relationship. We're not focused on any one trade. We're focused on trying to holistically provide services to these folks, it really resonates with the operator who's doing the same thing to the end user.
Exactly. Well, and Ben, you're a master at building relationships, and it's been great to get to know you over the past couple of years, and really appreciate you spending time on Bridge the Gap to add value back to our listeners. And you're really good on social media, and so we'll make sure that we post in the notes. And we encourage our listeners that even though that the conversation may be over on the podcast, is that we want them to continually engage with us online. And so we'll put a way to connect to you if people have questions about what we talked about today, or if they have questions about your company and your services, we'll make sure that we do that. So, Ben, thank you, my friend. Really appreciate your time.
Lucas, it was a pleasure. Thank you. And I really love what you're doing here. I think your campaign overall is just incredibly powerful for the industry as we continue to grow. So
absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. And thanks for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap. We'll be right back.